Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Xander, what is this suspicious bottle you're holding?
Don't be suspicious.
Oh, God, the plastic crack.
Okay. This is called a Streski. It is a Russian-style premium grape wine with natural flavors added.
Nothing about that sounds premium.
Well, I mean, I guess it really kind of depends on your definition of premium. It sounds like you have a higher standard than I do, but that's okay.
I mean, I tried on a very expensive bracelet today and then ate Taco Bell. I'm a complicated human being.
Speaking of complicated human beings.
Well played.
Listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Oh, hi. I'm Poppy Beaujolais.
And I'm about to sip something that smells...
Yeah.
That smells like the other liquid they would have in the squirt bottle at the crime scene.
About Streski. Alcohol has played an important role in Russian history, having been used in all medicine, ceremony, and most of all, drinking. Streski celebrates Russian culture and the camaraderie of sharing a drink with friends and strangers alike. Streski always goes down smooth, and its neutral flavor makes it versatile enough to pair with anything.
So this is fake vodka.
Yeah.
It's watered down vodka?
Tasting notes. Clean, neutral flavor, perfect for mixing. They put in way too much effort into the descriptions of these things, by the way. It's just, and they have like a really professional looking videos you can watch on how to use this stuff in cocktails. It's very confusing to me, but I'm going to have to try this now too, because I'm the asshole who brought it. Oh, it does just smell like water vodka.
Yeah.
It smells like watered down vodka. It tastes like watered down vodka.
Smells like really weak vodka. Just, yeah.
Smells like dilute rubbing alcohol. Tastes like.
Yeah.
Not bottom shelf vodka, because that has its own sort of horrible flavor.
It's definitely not Hood River Distillery vodka.
But they have definitely nailed neutral spirits, because there's nothing going on in that palate.
Yeah, I'm kind of tasting like a pop-off or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not dealing with a Silver Wolf or a Nikolai, but...
This, I understand, is one of the things you were mentioning last time about the gas station fake liquors.
Yeah, they have about... This company is called the... Wait a second, you're lying.
What, the bottled beverage company or something?
Yeah, this one says Brookstone, but the other one says the bottled company, bottled beverage company or something like that. And their website is way too detailed and full of like every single one of these little things. The fake whiskey, the fake tequila, the fake rum, the fake gin, the fake VSOP cognac, like.
And by fake, we mean it is alcoholic. This Streski is 42 proof.
Yeah.
But what we mean is they just fermented grapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Presumably.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And then added a flavoring to it, pretty much.
Not in this one, I don't think. I don't really taste anything but cheap water vodka.
I mean, it just tastes like watered down.
It's weak. It's, yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I mean, for... low-tier beverages we've tasted on this podcast, it's less offensive than many.
Yes.
This is...
Oh. It's just boring.
Boring.
Yep.
Boring. This is a good word.
This is what you drink to prevent DTs while you're waiting to get into Hooper.
I don't know any of those words.
I understand everything, and I think that's hilarious.
I think that means I've won in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually...
So, talking about drinking...
By the way, Hooper, thank you for the work that you do. You're awesome.
I agree.
So, talking about drinking things that are inoffensive and don't make you hate life, tonight we're talking about drinking tips for old farts who don't want to hate life.
Hey! Yay. I have so much experience with this so far.
That has basically been the description of me over the last few years.
Yeah.
Yep.
As I realized that if I have more than three beers, I'm going to have a headache.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am still somewhat shocked at how quickly this latest bout of alcohol intolerance has come about after my 40th birthday. And it's, yeah, I had to readjust a little bit. So I'm excited to talk about this.
As someone who has not quite reached that mark yet, just turned 37. You feel, I'm curious, because I'm still in that, you know, ungodly high tolerance level, which is disturbing to me. But what mostly changed, and how fast did, do you think it hit you? What were the kind of, or what were the points in which you thought, oh, I ain't the same no more?
Basically when, now, okay, to be fair.
To be fair.
To be fair. To be fair. To be fair, I'm not sure if the mechanism by which I am processing alcohol has changed. I mean, it I'm sure it has. My metabolism has slowed down. Lots of things have changed. Or if my priorities have just shifted. So keep that in mind. So grains of salt, right? I've noticed that if I have almost any amount of wine now, less than 4 hours before bed, I sleep like shit. Absolute garbage. Toss and turn and just don't get good quality sleep. I feel like when I was younger, that I used to be able to drink like an asshole and still get good quality sleep. It's probably bullshit, given how alcohol fucks with stage 4 sleep. Is it stage 4 or is it stage 3?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Yeah, I should know this. Anyway.
Sleep has stages.
Sleep has stages. And
get the fuck out.
It does. Sleep has stages. And whatever the stage is where it's actually the reparative stage.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
Alcohol basically inhibits it. Mm-hmm. So you don't heal as fast. You don't get well as fast from illnesses, things like that.
In most people.
In most people, yeah. So it really switched to this, like, oh my God, I really just sleep like garbage. And also, my love, red wine. I can hardly drink red wine anymore. It just, I do not feel good when I do it. It sucks.
As you get older, it's not uncommon, especially for women, to no longer be able to handle tannins, especially the artificial tannins in red wine.
Yeah. And I've always had issues with red wine. I've just sort of powered through them. Mm-hmm.
Drink. Did you power through red wine because you liked it or wanted to like it?
Probably some of both in my 20s.
Okay.
Kind of like how I powered through scotch for a long time before I realized I don't really like scotch. But then I found Irish whiskey and I was, oh. Anyway. So I've always had problems with getting flushed when I drink red wine or anything with sulfites or tannins. And there was a working hypothesis at one point that I might actually be allergic to oak.
Mm.
And I'm just like, don't give a shit. So just power through it. Because that normally means I just get flushed.
Mm-hmm.
It started now where I'll start getting flushed around my lips too. So mm-hmm. that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But never had any breathing problems or anything like that. So I'm like, it's fine. But that is, so TLDR, that has gotten worse very recently. And that's what I got for now. What about y'all? Moving along.
I'm kind of the same now. Because of you, really, I became a lover of red wines. Of wines in general, but specifically a lot of reds. And now a lot of them give me heartburn and headaches. Mm. More and more, I'm finding I can drink fewer wines.
Yeah, it sucks because we both really like wine.
Yeah.
Does it depend on the varietal of wine?
I haven't done enough research on it.
Certain reds are fine, certain reds are not. Or,
you know, it's...
Okay, here's a fun thing.
I don't know.
An observation that I've made recently in drinking wine is that the most boring labeled wine bottles tend to be the least offensive to my flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I go out and I'm looking at wine bottles and they might have like a catchy title or a cool logo or something on it. And then I'm looking right next to something like, you know, DuPont or Columbia Crest or something that's just a boring fucking square with like a little squiggly line on it or something in a nice font. The more boring the label, it tends to be easier for me to drink.
I would be highly interested in seeing, I mean, I know you're not the hugest fan of whites, but like a Pinot Grigio, whether that would have the same effect with you. And that's actually comparative because as I've gotten older, my tolerance hasn't gone down substantially. And even more so, you know, I don't get hangovers as easy, like, which is a real common occurrence after you turn 40 in many people after they turn about 35.
Yeah.
But the big one is I experience very reduced appetite after drinking and some lower GI issues if I like have a rager. But that's about it for me, which is different from a lot of my friends. Like I have a lot of my friends who after they turned 35, they started to notice they'd start developing hangovers while they were still actively drinking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've had that happen.
That happened to me like a week. It wasn't like exactly like a hangover, but I was drinking. I had like two, maybe three drinks because I hardly drink more than that anymore because I just can't. But like I had my drinks and like I already had a headache. Mm-hmm. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's a thing that can happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
It sounds horrible.
It gets worse and worse as the years go on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I am not stellar at staying hydrated in the first place. So that doesn't help.
Wait till we get to the tips for not hating life.
Exactly. Yep.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Now, my tolerance has changed quite a lot since I turned 21. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that was because I moved from a high altitude to a low altitude. I went from living at 4,500 feet above sea level to living at sea level. And that absolutely killed my tolerance, which wasn't a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And then the first year I lived in Portland, I actually wasn't drinking at all. I abstained from drinking for an entire year. And when I went back to it, it was like, oh, you think you can drink how much now? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
So, you know, but so since then how old was I? I was 27 when I moved out here. So I've been basically, now that I'm 40, almost 41, I've been watching this like slow progression of how my drinking has changed. But also what I've been drinking changed a lot. But yeah, I just can't drink like I used to is the short version.
What other questions do you have about getting old, Xander?
What's it like?
It's got its pros and cons.
Yeah, I'm one of those genetic mutants that has yet to experience a hangover, and not for lack of effort. Hmm.
The other thing I have especially noticed is I'll wake up the next morning, I won't have a headache, I won't have a hangover, perhaps some bowel irregularity, but that's about it. But the one thing I'm very aware of is every single old injury in my body. It's not like my body hurts, but like the two knuckles I probably broke, both of my knees, my spinal damage, and nowadays the beautiful gift from the drunk driver in my pelvis are all right there reminding me exactly where they are specifically with pinpoint accuracy.
Mm, yeah.
And that's when you wake up in the morning?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Dude, I'm at the age where ibuprofen's an aphrodisiac. Come on.
I got to roll out first, baby. You know what that means.
Got to hope I die before I get old.
Oh, he got the foam roller out. Oh, I'm in trouble.
What the fuck?
No, I think
I don't want to get old.
So we're talking about how to drink, being over 35, over 40 perhaps, and how to not drink like an asshole. Not that you're an asshole, Xander.
I'm gonna say, no, I am. Not, it's fine.
How to not, no, you're not an asshole. How to not hate yourself after drinking, I suppose, is, I don't know, pay attention to your body. Stay hydrated.
Drink water.
In more concrete, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on in your body as you age. And then there's a lot of common habits, especially in America, that develop as you get older. As we get older as adults, especially in America, and actually especially on the West Coast, we tend to hydrate less. We tend to, like, as stupid as this sounds, the teenager / 20-something year old addiction to soda actually meant that oftentimes you're more hydrated back then than you are now. And it's, yeah, I mean, like, at this point, we have the scientific evidence that the whole caffeine is a dehydrator is a myth. And
really?
Yeah. It's,
I knew it.
Unless you are like popping no-dos on the reg, you're getting a 1-for-1 or more often like a 4-for-1 water to caffeine intake, and your net works.
Because, I mean, the sugar doesn't mess with your hydration at all.
I mean, sugar does put more of a load on your kidneys, but also when you're younger, your kidneys process sugar better.
Sure. For if you're healthy.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, I mean, one of the other things could be that as we get older, like a fair number of us start taking more medications for various and sundry reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, medications can have an effect on how alcohol affects us and our hydration levels and all that kind of stuff, too. So, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of variables that go into it, but I always just kind of assumed it was my metabolism slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
And
your metabolism does slow down.
And oh, absolutely.
And as one of the big side effects is, as you get older, your ability to replenish electrolytes through your natural diet also fades.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So you.
God damn it.
So if you are going to be a professional drinker, you need to supplement, like making sure you get enough electrolyte-dense fruits, making sure that you drink beverages that have added electrolytes.
Put some fiber in that diet.
Get some fiber in that diet.
They've like, been telling me that for years.
Oh, Dave the Great, one of the, at one point, mainstays in the Portland downtown drinking scene, one of the organizers of Santa Crawl and that sort of thing, made a point of, before he went out, he had 2 fiber tablets every single time and a sugar-free Gatorade. And just to start the evening off before he even started pre-gaming. And
prophylactic.
Yeah, exactly. And it's still the best advice. You know, to this day, I find some of the best advice for drinking, no matter what your age, is still from the Drunken Rampage website, which was, you know, how to set your alarms so the first alarm goes off, so you wake up in the morning and drink the liter of Gatorade next to you and the liter of water next to that, and then go back to sleep for another hour.
Yeah, no, I actually, it's kind of my thing is I just chug a bunch of water before I go to bed and I'm fine.
The other thing is the importance of bioavailable protein and drinking. And like a lot of people will go, I'll just tuck into a huge steak or a big juicy burger and that'll be afloat. And it does help to a certain extent because the available fat does help in some aspects with certain kinds of alcohol makeup, especially wines. You know, it's one of the reasons why the red meat pairs so well with red wine. You know, you have this dense protein source with a lot of fat. It's not as immediately bioavailable. I have a lot of friends now, especially ones who are really into fitness, who have found that one of the things that helps them is they're not like one of those people who's addicted to creatine powder and protein powder and all this. They're just really into fitness. They like going out and going on 45-mile bike rides on a Saturday just because. And yes, I'm talking bicycle.
Yes.
But one of the things they'll do, even if they're like going to a wedding, is that afternoon they'll grab a pouch of protein powder from the store that's a decent quality and is like plant-based protein or something other than whey-based protein. And because whey takes a little bit longer to digest. And so they'll have that like 2 hours ahead of when the event starts. And it loads the gut and creates an enzyme system. At least on my limited understanding, I haven't been able to do a ton of research on this one, but what little I've seen is it loads the gut and prepares it to handle alcohol.
Huh, fascinating.
But one of the big things when you get older is instead of focusing on drinking everything in sight, drink what you like.
Yeah.
Drink the good stuff.
Yeah.
And
then switch to PBR. Oh.
Oh.
That's a whole other, that I mean, that's, yeah, just, sorry to, were you?
Yeah, no.
Nope. Don't. I mean, most people say like, don't mix your alcohol as like a broad spectrum kind of thing. But I have found that there are certain things I can drink together and be okay. And certain things that I just cannot mix. So I have discovered that beer, wine, and sake.
Mm-hmm.
I can, no, wait. Click, click. Beer, whiskey, and sake.
Mm-hmm.
I can mix, no problem.
Well, all fermented grains.
All fermented grains, grain based, right? Yeah. Exactly. All fermented grains. So yeah, whiskey, beer, sake, no problem. Good to pair together. Anything else, I have to stick to pretty much one. I haven't done a lot of, you know, with like alcohol, with like liquors. With hard liquors, I'm not sure if I'd be like, oh, I had a rum drink and a vodka drink in the same night and I was fine. Like, I don't really have that data for my own personal gut, but yeah, mixing can be dangerous.
I will say when it comes to mixing, what I've noticed most, especially when it comes to you young whippersnappers out there, is when you go, oh, I mixed booze last night and it was horrible and I had a hangover and I threw up or whatever. Generally what that is because you drank shitty booze. You were drinking the, you know, Jose Cuervo Especial tequila, which is only has to be 51% tequila, and the 49% can be neutral grain spirits, much like labeling something whiskey doesn't have to be all whiskey. It can be neutral grain spirits and flavoring as well. A lot of those things are just shit booze mixed with the shittier base booze that you were then shooting or taking with some awful, awful mixers as well. And that is what is giving you a hangover and making you feel like shit the next day. It's not the fact that you mixed a bunch of stuff. It's the fact that you mixed a bunch of shitty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have a bunch of different types of candy for dinner, you know, you're going to have a stomach ache when you wake up. That's just how it is. You know, but if you mix higher quality ingredients, generally speaking, you're going to be, for the most part, fine, I would say, for most people.
What if you get the high quality candies, though?
Yeah, I think you're going to be okay then. that's what I'm saying, you know. You don't go for your cheap knockoff. You know, you go to, you know, your wood block chocolates of Portland, for instance, and you get some high quality good stuff. You know, you go to, was it Moon?
Oh,
yeah. Moonstruck. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you go to Moonstruck, you go to wood block, you go to places like that. You're going to get some really high quality chocolates and you're not going to feel bad in the morning. But if you go and get your Hershey's, you're going to get a Hershey flow.
And that's kind of the... What we were talking with high-end candy, especially chocolate, also applies to booze. Like, if you go into Woodblock chocolate, if you go into Moonstruck, the serving sizes are smaller, but a little goes a long way,
when
it's good.
Moonstruck, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast.
Just give us some chocolate.
We will work cheap.
Yeah, I know the guy who owns Woodblock, so.
Hey, Woodblock.
Hey.
You know, his name is Charlie, and he has a chocolate factory.
Wow.
You're the only reason I go to Salt and Straw.
It's so good. Chocolate's so good.
Also worth noting, if you've been speaking of mixing, if you're doing cocktails, your cocktail base is important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're drinking White Russians all night, don't then suddenly start drinking tequila sunrises.
Oh, God.
You're going to put citrus on top of dairy.
Yeah.
You're going to grow
I've
up.
Seen people do that.
Oh.
It's just, guys,
do you just
what
keep
are you doing?
Pepsid behind the counter and just like.
Another one is, I know a lot of people who quit drinking mixed drinks because after 35, because they just weren't sitting well. And I went, let me try a couple things. And I made them a couple mixed drinks. Mm-hmm. And for some people, this is not a universal. Some people, after a certain point in their lives, can no longer handle carbonation in their alcohol. And the combination of the two is what screws them up. And so if you can, it's worth something to try if you really like cocktails, but you're finding you're not able to drink them. Maybe that, you know, RC and 7 is just not the thing for you anymore. So let's introduce you to the wonderful world of Negroni. And
yeah, and that's another thing too, is I tend to find that most cocktails that are made that are primarily spirit-based, you know, like in the Negroni where you have your Campari and your sweet vermouth and your gin, that's all three different types. So depending on what you get, pretty good booze. And I would say that you're probably going to get, well, you're gonna get drunker faster because it's all alcohol, kind of like a Manhattan, you know. Mm-hmm. But they're just simple, ingredients that are not complicated. They're not a bunch of artificial this, that, and the other. It's just well-made stuff.
Just remember, folks, there is no tea in a Long Island.
No.
Is that an inside joke that I missed?
The number of people who, when I told them there's no iced tea in their Long Island iced tea and called me a liar when I was a bartender. Wow. Oh, my God.
Wait, that's a thing? Yeah. Wow. I mean,
never had a Long Island iced tea.
It's not tea.
I know it's not tea. Okay. I make them for a fucking living.
Okay, he's surprised that people don't know that.
Yeah. That was my surprise, is people being surprised that there's no tea in there.
Yeah.
That was my surprise. Not that I don't. I mean, know how to make one.
Nobody grows up being taught that.
Yep.
Unless they have drunks for parents. It's something.
Hey, now.
It's something.
My
that you,
mother and father are good people.
Honestly, it's
we
something
didn't say
that
the drunks weren't good people.
It's something that you only learn the first time you have one, and you realize that ain't tea.
I mean, it's the joke. It's that it looks like, if you put it in a glass, in a highball glass with a little wedge of lemon on the side,
it looks like an iced tea.
Honestly, it kind of tastes like an iced tea. Yeah.
Well, the
I
number
no,
the number of people where I've done the forefinger swipe and pour into the glass and then picked up the soda gun and fired the Coca-Cola in there. And they were like, wait a minute, is that Coke? And I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
They're like, you don't put iced tea in your Long Island iced tea? I'm like, where have you been drinking?
Because also, that sounds not bad. Like,
well,
I feel like iced tea into what you're mixing with a Long Island sounds way better.
I mean,
than
some
what
sweet
it is.
Tea and some fucking Absolute Citron or something.
What is like, that sweet tea flavored liquor?
Oh, Jeremiah's?
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Tom Collins, put some booze in there. I mean, shit, you know.
I mean, Georgia.
Jeremiah's Sweet Weed, I think is what it's called.
A Georgia Express, which is literally sweet tea with then adding in all of the stuff for a Long Island.
Ooh.
Will screw you up.
Oh, I bet.
And it's delicious and it's worth doing. I recommend instead of the slice of lemon, you have a slice of peach just to drive home the Georgia.
Mm.
Now I could get behind that.
I will gladly hook a brother
you know what
up.
Saying?
Yeah. When peach season rolls around, NPC, I will gladly make one for you.
One of the things I was going to say is a long time. So, okay. For a very long time in my friends group, I was the only one with a car, mm-hmm. even into our early 20s, or when we would go to the bar, we would all pile into my car. And so often I had to be the driver,
mm-hmm.
unless there was arrangements made earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned really early on to order mixed drinks. Like, say I wanted a rum and Coke, order a single tall,
because
then you get more soda than booze and you still can drink it slower. So that's one of my number one tips, is ordering single talls.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Closing thoughts.
I'm with that. I've been doing that for years. I always get a tall because I drink like a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the drink is in front of me, I drink it like a fish. If it's water, if it's liquor, I drink it at the same pace. Therefore, if I'm drinking something alcoholic, I'm going to get drunk quicker. But if I'm drinking a taller alcoholic, then I'm going to get drunk half as quick.
And thanks for ordering the drink properly, Poppy.
That was
beautiful. Single tall from Coke. Bam, bam. Done.
Yep.
Don't be that asshole who says after the person's made the drink, you want it in a tall glass. That happens so many goddamn times.
Single tall.
scattered, covered, diced, and chunked. Sorry, we're still at Georgia.
And also, too, remember that light ice means more soda, not more booze, you fucking moron. Okay. Right. But also, a good way to order a drink if you want more soda, too. Order light ice. Get more soda. That's fine.
Yeah.
And I would take the experience of aging and drinking as an invitation to expand your palate. This is the time of your life to start trying aperitifs that are served in smaller sizes and in a smaller size that is not in any way, shape, or form in relation to the alcoholic percentage of the beverage. This is the time to appreciate Cynar and, so many
Amaro other... Amaro Nonino.
Mm-hmm.
Madeira.
Madeira. Oh. And
Aperol.
This is the time to embrace your aging and expand your palate. You're going to be drinking less drinks, so feel free to spend more on them.
Get the better quality.
And adapt, y'all. Don't cling to the vestigials of your youth. Adapt. Listen to your body. And adapt.
Throw out that case of Wild Turkey, man. You don't need it anymore.
But I do.
You'll pry my old crow from my cold, dead hand.
This is Biker's Dice and Bars. We're in Portland, Oregon. I'm NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And again, we wish to remind you.
Keep a shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender, especially when they've taken the time to make you a really nice, fancy craft cocktail that's not going to give you a hangover.
Always roll those crits, but don't cheat. Nobody likes a dice cheater.
And please always drink responsibly.
Join us online. Send us a message. Let us know you are listening. Let us know you love us. And we'll chat with you and share more of our drinking stories. Thanks again.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Biker's Dice and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes. Gamer things and all the like.
Yep.